In this talk, actually, I'm going to report on all the QTL-based discoveries for disease traits and the flavor traits that we are doing at University of Florida in the strawberry breeding program. So in the last couple of years, I've already presented some of the results, but I'm going to briefly talk about those here as well. But I'm going to present the new findings that we are doing in the University of Florida as far as disease traits are concerned and some of the flavor traits as well. So this is just to summarize and give you a perspective how important this crop is. This is a $2.9 billion industry in U.S. strawberries, and Florida is a $364 million industry. Of course, it's only 15% grown in Florida as compared to more than 80% in California. But as you can see, how much money is involved, and a lot of diseases are disease pressure, and you know, if you can solve those problems, all the farmers and growers in California and Florida, they're both going to benefit from all the discoveries. So this is was supposed to be a joke, slide, but I don't know if you get it. So we plant our seedlings in Florida between mid-September to mid-October, and that time is beautiful in Florida. It's basically miserable and oppressive. It's a lot of humidity, a lot of heat, a lot of so it's. But you know, that's the way it is. But eventually, it gets better. And the temperature we have in the higher 60s to the mid to high 80s as well. So temperature-wise as well, it's not really a comfortable situation. But I think after mid-October, it gets better once we are done planting. So today, I'm going to talk about the five burning diseases that we in Florida and in California and maybe some other places we are facing as a challenge, and two other diseases that I'm not going to present results, but hopefully we are working on those as well. So Phytophthora cactorum, which causes Phytophthora crown rot in the strawberries, and Anthracnose fruit rot, Coleotriticum crown rot, charcoal rot, and angular leaf spot. Botrytis is an issue in Florida as well, and powdery mildew in general an issue in Florida and probably in California as well. So I'm going to talk about the top five today. It's not just the disease, it's the flavor and the aromatic compounds as well. In strawberries, more attention has been on the flavor and the aroma that it has that makes people eat more and more strawberry. So there is a consumer demand to get a more sugar-acid balance as well as aromatic compounds. To give you a perspective how we design our trials and how we conduct our experiments, so we had a trial for each of these diseases consecutive two years, and each year we had almost 50 to 60 pedigree-connected families on the ground. So I had to summarize everything together, but for each of these trials, we had at least two years of trial, and we had 50 to 60 pedigree connected families. And for aromatic and volatile compounds, I think we had slightly smaller families, but still it's a large family. We collected genotypic data on all those trials over a few years, 3 or 4 years. And we screen all our samples using ISTRO 90 and ISTRO 35, and we use all the polymorphic markers from those SNP arrays. This is an empty canvas of octoploid strawberry genome, which looks really complicated and large, but this is the breeding program specific genetic map where we use two of the parents, which is the ancestor of the most of the material that we have in our breeding program, that resulted in 28 linkage groups. There were a total of more than 14,000 markers that were mapped, and the size was around 19 Morgan, which is consistent with other reports that we see in the literature. For QTL discovery and validation, I use Flex QTL software, which actually conducts multiple and simultaneous QTL analysis using complex pedigree-connected population. And I know Dr. Byrne is here. He was mentioning in his previous talk that there is a limitation in software where there is only biparental softwares that are used only biparental data. So I think FlexQTL is a tool which gives you liberty to compile all your bioparental population together, but it has to be pedigree connected to increase the power of analysis. You can use large number of markers and large population sizes, and you can actually use the dense genetic map using this software. So I would like to acknowledge Dr. Eric van der Waak, who developed this software along with Dr. Marco Bink at Wageningen University in Netherlands. So now come to the fun part where I'm going to present all the results for all the discovered and validated QTLs, all the great jewels in the genomes. So for the first result, we found a large QTL for resistant to Phytophthora crown rot, and that project was led by Josan Mangandi, and we published this paper in G3 last year. And what he found was a large QTL on linkage group 7D at the end of the chromosome. And this yellow dot that you see with the number 14 in the middle, that means the base factor, which if you see any number greater than 10 or 10, that means we have a decisive evidence that there is a significant QTL there. So the heritability was 0.35. So he was able to develop SNP-based markers, he also developed the HRM-based markers as well for this, which, by the way, paper just came out yesterday. So if you Google it, you can find it. He developed all the, actually, Dr. Shongyi Li and Yang Jie is here. He worked on those traits to develop HRM-based marker for this locus. For the resistant to Colitotrichum crown rot, Ashley Anzito, she did her master's, and she found a large effect QTL for this. This paper just came out last week, so this is a fairly recent report. And what she found was a large QTL on linkage group 6B with a base factor of 12, which again is a decisive evidence for a locus. And she was also able to develop HRM-based marker for seedling screening, robust HRM-based marker, and we are actually using in our breeding program as well. But this is publicly available. Anybody can use it now. For angular leaf spot, Jack Roach, he did his master's on this disease, and he found a large effect QTL on 7D with a really, really high heritability. So this was a major, major locus that he found, and that was again published in TAG in 2016. And actually, he also developed HRM-based marker, so that's in the publication as well. Now, these are the new ones, disease trials that we are working with. This one is for resistant to charcoal rot, and Jonathan Nelson, he's working on this project. And this is a fresh result from his work on flex-QTL analysis and all the trials. He discovered two major locus on the genome, octoploid genome, and they are the robust large effect QTLs that explains around 58% of the phenotypic variation, and most of them are additive. So narrow sense heritability is 0.55. So he is digging deeper into these two loci and finding the lineages and where the resistance is coming from and whether this is additive or dominance and those sort of genetic analysis. The next is resistance to anthracnose fruit rot. Natalia Salinas, she is working on this disease, and she found a large effect QTL on 6B. Actually, this is her second year trial. She just finished second year trial. She's probably going to work on third year as well, but she has replicated the finding on 6B, and this is a major locus. So she is really excited about this, and I think she's going to develop HRM marker on these as well and probably find the gene as well. For volatile compounds, as far as fruit quality is concerned, Chris Barbie, who is mentored by Dr. Kevin Folta in Gainesville, University of Florida, he did a QTL analysis as well as GWAS for hundreds of volatile compounds. He literally has hundreds of traits that he's working on. But I thought this will be a good, he thought it's a good example to present this one, because this lanolol is a fruit aroma compound that actually captures a large proportion of volatile compounds that are in strawberries. And he found a major locus for that, which explains 50% of the variation. This gene, FANES1, is previously reported for volatile compound, this volatile compound. So he found the same using our genetic map and his trial and his data. the one, this I think I talked about this last year as well, in last couple of years, gamma decalactone, and I think Alan is here, who did this work with Dr. Kevin Folta to develop SSR, or the DNA-based marker, to screen for this. This aroma compound actually gives a nice aroma to strawberry, which makes you eat a lot of strawberries. So all these findings, and we had an empty canvas of octoploid strawberry. Slowly, we are trying to fill it in. So we have PC217D and XF1, which is for angular leaves part, Colletotrichum acutatum on 6B, Colletotrichum glisphoridis, 6B again, and Macrofemina, 2 QTLs on 2A and 4B. For fruit quality traits, FANES1 and FAFAD1 on 3B. So we are starting to coloring up this complex octoploid mystery, but still it's a lot of challenges. Hopefully one day we'll find answer for most of the diseases in fruit quality. So to summarize everything up, last year Dr. Shongi Lee's lab, and in collaboration with Vance's lab as well, he used all the four HRM-based markers, and he screened more than 55,000 seedlings for using these four SNP-based markers, and to come down to 12,500, which we can send to California for nursery. So we culled almost 42,500 seedlings using four, and he is hoping to deploy CG1 and MP1 and MP2 markers in the next couple of years. So crossing our fingers. So eventually, like I showed you this graph in previous talk as well, we apply all these markers at this stage of our breeding cycle, which is right where the crossing is made, and we have the marker-assisted seedling selection in the month of, at the end of April or May. So 1 month is a really busy time. At the end, I would like to acknowledge my mentors and my team, and all the funding agency and participating organizations. And I would like to take any question. I think I have 2.5 minutes left. Yes.
With all of the markers with the selection you're doing, the cull seedlings and the genomic selection, do y'all end up outsourcing for convenience to get your data turned around on time, or is it just a mad dash in your lab to do all the extractions and genotyping?
Right, so question is to, do we do all of this by ourselves, or we outsource all this to another lab? So the answer is yes, we do this all by ourselves, in-house. So for that, it's the Vance's program and Dr. Shongi's Lee's program, who is specifically designed for genomics and marker development. So he actually does most of the marker-assisted seeding selection, marker development, and his lab members, Young Jay and everybody, they do a lot of hard work to get that part done. But our team members are also involved. So luckily we don't overlap. Our season don't overlap between crossing to marker-assisted selection to field and stuff. We have different crew members, so we can actually redirect all our man force to all the work, all the target that we get. Yes. Can you repeat that?
Did you ever find one of the locations linkage groups that is linked to other things, disease, susceptibility, or resistance, and group flavor?
Right. So the question is there any locus that we found actually has association with disease resistant and the flavor as well? So the answer is we have not found any disease locus which is affecting fruit quality as well. But we have found a fruit locus that affects another fruit quality. For example, SSC versus total marketable yield, total yield. So there is obviously a negative correlation between the total yield and the SSC data that we have seen. So that's one is still, we know that's prevalent in our breeding program and probably all other strawberry breeding program as well. But in general, one on 6B, we have a CA and CG, two QTLs next to each other, around 10 centimorgans apart. But I think they are in coupling phase. We still have to find out, but they are not actually antagonist to each other. They are not. It's not like we select for the good CA allele, then we get the bad CG allele. So we are lucky in that case. Yeah, so I think, yeah, so the question, so volatile compounds, yes. So we still don't know a lot of stuff, a lot of genetic control of volatile compounds. It's just one example, one or two example. Like I said, Chris Barbie, he's working on hundreds of volatile compounds, and control of those volatile compounds, we have no idea at all. So I agree with your question, very good question, but we don't know anything at this point. I hope they don't drag me.